This is Pat Tomlinson in Illinois. I'm talking with Dr. Jim Smart, who is Ag Spectrum Research and Teaching Agronomist. Jim is based in southeast Kansas, where he resides on his farm near La Harpe. Jim, I appreciate you taking the time to talk. How are things in your neighborhood? Any harvest activity yet?
I actually harvested some group 3.7 soybeans on Wednesday, and then we had rain after that. But even coming through a very dry period, we had 54-pound test weight and medium-sized beans. They weren't real small, but surprisingly good for after all the stress they've gone through with high temperatures and lack of moisture.
Harvest surprises are way more pleasant when the yields are higher than expected instead of going the other direction, as we're getting started with both corn and soybeans in a few areas. One of the topics of conversation is the yield variability that we're seeing, and it seems to be associated with both planting dates and soil type differences. Any general thoughts or comments on that topic, Jim?
Yeah, we've had several growers that have commented that their early planted corn seems to be maturing well. A little bit of concern about leaf yellowing, but the early planted corn seemed to have got past the stage where tar spot would affect it very much. And that was one of the questions, where the early planted corn, it's mature enough, the tar spot's not likely to have an impact at this point.
One of the other topics is the timing differences in pollination that resulted from the different planting dates. Is that likely playing a role also?
I think there's no doubt the multiple stress factors, if you were dry or had heat stress, as well as fungicide stresses, that's hurting the corn more. Corn that was planted in normal times or even earlier seemed to have very little problems with tar spot. Corn that was planted in late May or even early June, where it was really wet, they couldn't plant early. Those fields seem to have the biggest impact from tar spot, as well as other fungal diseases. And many of those fields, they put a fungicide on right at tasseling or, you know, relatively early. And now we're 3 or 4 weeks past that time, and what fungicidal activity there was has declined, and we may need to treat some of those fields a second time just because the fungicides don't last typically very long. You know, only a couple of weeks is what we can expect.
I was in a field yesterday that seemed to be healthy and drying down naturally with a lot of green still on the top of the plant, but surprisingly, when I actually got in the field, I was struck by how easy it was to notice the classic cigar-shaped lesions that indicate northern leaf blight on the upper leaves. This was a maximum farming field on a long-term MFS grower that had two foliar apps this year. I think the plant was healthy enough to limit the impact of the northern leaf blight that was there to keep it from taking out the plants as quickly as it can when the field is already under stress. But was this an unusual situation, or are you seeing any other leaf diseases in your travels?
I did see quite a bit of northern leaf blight and was also surprised at how much it was impacting some varieties, while another variety right beside it had no impact. So I recommended to the producer they record or, you know, write down what varieties are not impacted, and when choosing their seed for next year, maybe that's what we need to focus on, disease resistance more. Of course, yield is important, but if you don't have disease resistance, it's going to be very problematic.
One of the other topics I've heard commented on, and I've noticed myself, is the differences in the maximum farming fields we're seeing where foliar applications were made, and the more natural senescence we're seeing from the plants where they are dying from the bottom up, not having the overnight top dieback that we sometimes see in conventional fields where the field is under stress as it matures, and it just seems like one day the tops are suddenly dead and breaking over, and the plants have just succumbed to anthracnose or some other disease that came in and killed them quickly, just kind of circumventing the natural maturity process.
I would say certainly we have less stress on the plants, in those fields that have been managed well with nutrition through maximum farming. But the other thing that has affected some people is the very warm nights up until very recent, as well as warmer than normal daytime temperatures. And those warm night temperatures push the crop to start maturing sooner than we might like.
Some of the conversation out there focuses on higher than normal nighttime temperatures during the pollination of the crop and immediately after that causing the issue. How should we be evaluating those fields or parts of fields where we see this issue?
I think it's a compounding effect of the lack of early nitrates as well as high night temperatures causing more challenges with tip back or filling the ends of those ears. But certainly the early access to nitrate helps to fill the ear all the way to the end. I've been in a couple of fields where they had some tip back as much as an inch or inch and a half, and we can see, or I attributed much of that to some herbicides that were applied at V4 to V6 or 7 stage, where they damaged the corn and it didn't fill because of some of that herbicide injury. And, you know, we always talk about getting our herbicides on timely, controlling the weeds before they get big. But in that period from about V5 to V7 or V4 to V7, it's pretty critical to try not to stress the plant very much. And some of the herbicides that we've chosen certainly will stress the corn, and you'll have tip back on almost every ear as a direct result of those herbicide applications and the timing in relation to the growth stage on the corn.
Sounds like in most situations where you're working with a grower to analyze an issue, you need to think about more than one thing. And in the case of tip back, we need to think about the early nitrate application and availability, the stresses during pollination period, and of course the herbicide application, if there was any, in that V4 to V7 period.
Right, all three of those. And if you have all three of them impacting them, then it's almost at the trifecta.
Any other topics we haven't mentioned that you'd like to bring up before we wind up, Jim?
There's a number of people that have found that applying herbicides right after we harvest our corn or soybeans, or at least before it freezes, we can control a number of biennial and perennial weeds in our fields, such as mare's tail or pokeweed. And we can also keep many of the pigweed species like Palmer amaranth and tall water hemp from going to seed. Because if you're harvesting corn right now, those seeds, the plants don't have to be very tall to produce quite a lot of seed. And if it doesn't freeze, they could produce a tremendous amount of seed before we get a freeze in mid-October, you know, if they have 20 or 30 days to grow. So this fall herbicide application with some growth regulator herbicides such as 2,4-D and or dicamba can be very helpful. And one of the things that people have made a mistake, they see a quick burn with the growth regulator, so they want to add more product, but really a slow burn or slow twisting allows the chemical to translocate to the roots and kill the plants. For instance, 8 ounces of 2,4-D will translocate to the roots and kill most of our biennial and perennial plants, but if we put on a pint and a half or a quart, you'll burn the tops off, but then from the crown or the base of the root, as it's coming out of the ground, you will have several shoots that reemerge, and we don't actually kill those deep-rooted plants. And usually in the fall, we have cooler temperatures where you're not likely to have volatilization and vapor drift that would damage neighboring fields or trees or other plants.
I do want to thank you for taking this time to share some of your thoughts with us. I think they'll be useful to dealers and growers moving forward, and I hope the rest of your harvest brings some more pleasant surprises to you and that you stay safe through the busy season ahead.